Shall we turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read the first 9 verses. And just to emphasize or to again say thank you to the church for your support. As we went to Livingstone, we are mindful of the fact that you were praying for us. And we are very thankful to the Lord for your support. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. The Bible reads as follows. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Verse 9, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. This evening, I want us to just consider the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. These are words which are very familiar to all of us. And my aim this evening is to remind us of reality, the reality of life. Sometimes as Christians, yes, we are filled with doctrine. We are filled with knowledge, and we do not consider the reality of our faith, the reality of our Christianity. We also see from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 that we are pilgrims, we are strangers in this world. When we got saved, we became citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20. There we also see the Apostle Paul talking about this very fact. Let me just read some of these passages to us so that we can see what the Word of God is saying. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. The Bible reads as follows. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible reads, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body. What I'm interested in, as I give the introduction, is what we see in 1 Peter as sojourners, as pilgrims. And we also see from Philippians and chapter 3 and verse 20, there again the apostle is saying, for our citizenship is in heaven. One of the clear things we can get from the two verses I have read is that as Christians, This is not our home. And this is the emphasis that we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As the Apostle Paul deals with this earthly tent, he deals with our life here on earth, he deals with the present as well as our future. It is indeed true that sometimes, because of the cares of this world, we are so much taken up in our business of either working, and then church is like part-time, Christianity is just a filler in our lives, and therefore our focus is not really on heaven and heavenly things, but our focus is entirely on our goals here on earth, with this comfort from God's word about heaven coming just as a surplus into our lives. Therefore, before going in too much detail, I must say that the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Peter chapter 5 about the earthly tent, about our citizenship, that it is not here on earth, the words are very much relevant to each one of us. And I must just make this point clear that as we go through this passage, we must be able to see ourselves before the Lord, ourselves as being in this tent, ourselves as obtaining this glorious body when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. We must see ourselves as sojourners here on earth. Indeed, we do see people dying. And when I was preaching on Sunday, these are some of the things that I mentioned, that we will die. For as long as the Lord tarries, we will die. And therefore, what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians is real. This tent, the body that we are occupying today, is not a permanent body. Irrespective of the good looking stature, whatever it is just a tent. And very soon, you will die. I will die. There is a desire within those who are saved to leave this tent. There is a desire for those who are saved to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about ourselves being sojourners here on earth, we are saying that our citizenship is in heaven. And the main attraction of going to heaven is not to necessarily get rid of the earthly problems, but it is to be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the one who makes the difference. A normal Christian will be able to relate with Paul, as he says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." You must be able to think about your life in that manner, that you are not here for God. Having said that, we are not encouraging a spirit like we see in 1 Thessalonians, or in Thessalonians, the first, second, 1 Thessalonians, of people who were saying, the Lord is about to come, therefore will not work, therefore will just wait for Him to come. And the apostle says, you must work. That's the other extreme. But I want to just emphasize that we are sojourners here on earth. There is one fact which I just thought about. There will come a time in this church when people will start dying. Those who are in their 50s or 60s may die almost at the same time. And it will be a real situation. In case people have been seeing these things from very far, maybe that time is coming if the Lord doesn't come. So remember, brethren, we are sojourners here on earth. In dealing with this particular thing or topic, Paul compared our bodily existence to living in a tent. and the resurrection body to a place or a grand building. There are two comparisons here. He talks about a tent and he talks about a house. But I just want to also mention that for the sake of being systematic or remembering what we are looking at, we will just look at the hardship that Paul mentions about this life. We'll look at the hope that Paul mentions regarding our life. And then we'll look at a home as we read verses 1 to 9. The first one is the hardship about this life. When he says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens." In verse 2, he says, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation from heaven. Indeed, as I mentioned, we are sojourners. Therefore, we cannot be comfortable in this life. And the reason we cannot be comfortable in this life is simply because there is hardship." Paul describes the difficulties believers face while living in this foreign land, in this sin-cursed world. And so we see that this hardship and the life that Paul is talking about, this life is a temporary time. It is a temporary time. Paul uses two words to describe the temporary nature of this life. He uses one word, which is tabernacle, or, if you may like, tent. And then the second one, the word he uses, which is interesting, is being destroyed or dissolved. So, but what do we mean when we say life is a temporary time? What we see is that the word tabernacle refers to a tent or a temporary dwelling. And this is what he says about our life here on earth. It is like a tent. Those of us who are here, we can remember that we had the tent of meeting. And that was not a permanent place. It was a temporary arrangement. And so because we were building here, we had pitched up a tent. That tent of meeting, we are meeting in there. And so when Paul talks about the hardships of life, and when he describes this life here on earth, he says it is a temporary time. This tent, this body, is not permanent. Yes, you ought to take care of it, but it is not permanent. One day it will actually die. So the word tabernacle or tent is used as a metaphor for these human bodies, which are a temporary home for our soul, which will be taken down in death. The other word he uses, just to emphasize the point that life is a temporary time, is the word destroyed or dissolved. This word means to demolish, to destroy, or to loosen. In those days, it was used to refer to travelers reaching the end of their journey and loosening the straps which held the burdens to the back of their animals. Now they have arrived. Now they are to loosen the stripes which held the burdens. And so when we talk about this life and that it is some temporary arrangement, we see that one day it will be dissolved. These are not the kind of bodies that we are going to have forever and for eternity. These are bodies which do not go beyond this life here on earth. In other words, this life is seen as a temporary time. These bodies will soon wear out. And having looked at the temporary time, and in relation to these bodies, we also see that from verse 2 to 4, there is some kind of element
which is pointing to the fact that life is a tragic time. It is full of tragedies. Verse 2 to 4 we read, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked." Verse 4, "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." Paul is reminding us, beloved brethren, not just that life is a temporary time, but that life is a tragic time. Paul uses interesting words to describe this life and its tragedies. And one of the words that we see there is groan in verse 2. Groan. "For in this we groan." And when we say we groan, it is Christians. It is people like you and me. It is those of us who know the Lord. Those of us who have eternity, but we are still in these bodies. We groan. And this word means to sigh heavily within. To sigh heavily within. There is also an element of being burdened, an element of displeasure, an element of showing us that we are not comfortable at all. He says about life's tragedy that we groan. Verse 4, burdened, just to emphasize that it is tragic. The word we see here in verse 4, burdened, means to be pressed down on the inside. Now, this is very interesting. To be pressed down on the inside. We also see the word mortality. This word refers to that which is mortal or liable to death. Yes, this life is a tragic one. And so, beloved friends, those of us who sometimes do forget about who we are, do forget about what we are experiencing, yes, remember, life is a temporary time. Life is a tragic time. Paul uses these words to remind us that this life is filled with tragedies, trials, and trauma. There are moments when sometimes we go through certain things that we don't share with the brethren. There are moments when we as Christians do smile when we come to church. And even as we are smiling, we are pretending. Perhaps it's simply because we do not want to discourage the brethren. But the reality of life is that there are moments when we face these tragedies in our lives as Christians. Knowing that there is prosperity gospel out there, knowing that there is also all sorts of funny teachings about life where they will tell you that you are the head and you are not the tail, and they will tell you that whatever is negative, back to the sender. That's not about life. Life is full of tragedies. And this is what Paul is reminding us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beloved brethren, if this is how life is here on earth, definitely as a Christian, you must be looking forward to meeting your Maker. You must be looking forward to being in the presence of God. If this is life, it is full of tragedies. Of course, you do not need to live 100 years to know that life is full of tragedies. We hurry on. We also see, and as we think about this life and what Paul is saying, not only are there just tragedies, this life is a testing time.
It is a testing time. We are told that we are to be walking by faith, according to verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God allows us to pass through all events of life, all trials that come our way, and He allows them to be part of us. The tragedies and the traumas to prepare us for glory. So, beloved friend, beloved brother, beloved sister, as we think about these things, and probably it is so gloomy that you are just saying to yourself, yes, this is how life is, and you are pressed down within your soul. The inner man is weak. The inner man is looking for that encouragement. We must know that the testing will come, but the Lord will always be with us. Paul uses pressures, or God uses the pressures of this life to make us into His perfect image. After all these things have passed, indeed, as we march to Zion, we'll have a testimony to tell. Not only do we see from what Paul is writing about the difficulty of life, as I mentioned, not only do we see that there is hardship in life, we also see that there is hope. There is hope. In verse 4, it says, "For we were in this tent grown, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." Beloved friends, we do have hope as Christians. Those who are not Christians, with this kind of life, where there are so many tragedies, there is hardship, they have no hope. This is only but a foretaste, although it cannot really be matched to the suffering that awaits them. But for those of us who are Christians, Paul is saying that we have hope. And what is this hope we are talking about? From verse 4, it is a comforting hope. It is a comforting hope. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. We see that the kind of hope we have is a comforting hope. Paul had already told us that in this life there will be ups and downs, but these will not last forever. Now he tells us that we have hope. We are looking forward to our future. He tells us that we will be clothed upon, and that mortality will be swallowed upon life. These are comforting words. This is the kind of hope that we have, beloved friends. Paul is telling us that when this earthly life draws to a close and we lay down these temporary bodies, we have a new body and a new life awaiting us in heaven. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 is telling us this. Remember, yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49 to 58. It is talking about the hope that we have in the resurrection. Those of us who are Christians, yes, it's not a myth. Yes, it's not a story. We will resurrect. And we are obviously encouraged by the fact that we have the Lord Jesus Christ who resurrected from the dead. He is actually one good example and surety that we have that indeed He is returning. He resurrected from the dead. He conquered death. Therefore, He is coming. Beloved friend, do you have hope for your life? Do you look at life beyond the problems that you go through? As Christians, we have this comforting hope. Not only do we have this comforting hope, we have a confident hope. Look at the words that we see in verse 1. For we know that
we know. The we know here is signifying his confidence. He knows. We have a confident hope. This is the language that he uses. In verse 1, for we know, or we have. Verse 6, how does it sound? He says, so we are always confident. We are always confident. And this man says, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. I'm using the languages actually using to show us that as Christians, we have this hope. We see that not only is it just a confident hope, Paul is not talking about a hope which has got a language like maybe, maybe, but he is talking about knowing, fully knowing. Not only is it a confident hope that we see that we have as Christians, it is also a cleansing hope. Verse 9, it is a cleansing hope. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. The hope we have, beloved friends, is a cleansing hope. Paul tells us that the hope we have within us causes us to live right and to work actively for the glory of God. It is because of this hope that Christians have that they walk worthy of their calling, so to speak. It is a cleansing hope. There is a desire to be found pleasing before him. And as we are seated and I'm standing here, is this a kind of hope that we have? A cleansing hope. This desire to be found pleasing in his sight. If you really believe he is coming for you one day, either by death or by rapture, you will have or you will want to live a pleasing life before him. We need to hurry on and just conclude as we look at what Paul is saying. Yes, we are sojourners and we have seen that we are not to take all the comfort in this life because there is tragedy, because it is a temporary time, and we see that there is hope for Christians, but we also see that there is a home. If we are to talk about hope, we need to have some substance before us. What is it that is giving us hope? What is it that we know about our temporary bodies and what we'll attain after this? What is it that we have which is eternal? From verse 1, he talks about our home as a perfect place. He says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, then positively he says we have a building from God, a house not made with hands. We have a home, beloved friends. And the home we are talking about, from whichever angle you look at it, is not just your resurrected body, but it is heaven. Combine the two, your resurrected body will be in heaven. Paul tells us that our home on high is the building of God. This tells us something about the nature of this home. The Lord makes it. If it is the body, the Lord makes the body. The place, the Lord makes it. And therefore, it is perfect. It is a perfect home that awaits you and me. Our home is not only perfect. Our home is a permanent place. The bodies you will have will be permanent bodies. The bodies that we are going to have will be permanent bodies, not this tent that we are actually occupying. One day we will lay it down. One day it will be like the reality of what we had. The tent of meeting and the tent that we had to be put down. had to be abandoned because a tent is made not to be something for us to occupy permanently, but just for a short while. Not only is our home permanent, we see that our home is a precious place. Verse 8. It says, we are confident, yes, well, please rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We are told that when we leave these bodies, we go immediately into the presence of the Lord. As soon as death causes this clay tabernacle to fold up and fall away, the redeemed soul finds itself in the presence of the one who died to save that soul. This, beloved friends, beloved brethren, gives me comfort. Yes, it is painful when you think about parting ways with your family, when you think about parting ways at that time when you die, with your wife, with your husband, with the church. But there is this comforting message that we have. Our home is a precious home. Irrespective of your interpretation here, we could have gone into detail, we do not have time. This precious home we are talking about is a home prepared by God. It is a home that has been promised. It is a home that is perfect. We can speak of the golden streets, jasper walls, angelic hosts, pearl gates, and foundations of precious stones. But the presence of Jesus Christ is what will make it heaven. It is what will make heaven. It will be Him and His glory that will light that city, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. So, beloved friends, as we go home this morning, a few things that we need to think about. What has been our attitude regarding this body, regarding our life here on earth? Have we been like sojourners, those who are fixed on what lies ahead of them, those who have set their minds on things above, those who are looking forward to heaven, looking forward to meeting the Maker? I do remember during the Reformed Conference, the speaker saying, if a Christian does not look forward to meeting the Lord, then there's something wrong. They are not prepared. They are not prepared. Not at all. And friend and beloved Christian, if you do consider yourself as a sojourner, you know you are looking forward to meeting your Maker. What about when we have been traveling and then we are looking forward to meeting our family, looking forward to meeting our husband, as we go through that journey and we are not thinking about, we don't enjoy the ride, we don't enjoy being forever on the road. We look forward to meeting our beloved. Are you looking forward to meeting Christ? Do you realize that the body you are actually obtained, the body that you are occupying right now, is a tent? A tent which will be pulled down. I do pity those who love the world. I do pity those who love it so much that they don't think about eternity. I do pity Christians who are so worldly. In as much as they are Christians, all they think about is something worldly. I do pity those who do not discuss God's word, those who do not think about heaven, those who just think about buying cars, who think about worldly things, who think about just building, and that's a talk outside church. They don't think about their Maker, they don't think about heaven. Oh, beloved Christian, do you know that you are a sojourner here on earth? Do you know that there is heaven awaiting you? Do you think about seriously where you are going? Or are you comfortable in this fallen world? There is a land that is fairer than day. And for by faith, we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Let us pray together, shall we? Lord, as we
came to meet with you, to listen to your word. We thank you that we have been reminded the fact that we are visitors here on earth and our bodies are not permanent. Some are experiencing pain in their body. Some are troubled in soul. Some are discouraged. We thank you that we do have a hope, and that hope is in you. We want to thank you that you've taught us to walk by faith and not by sight. Oh Lord, help us, each and every soul bow down before you, to do just that, to walk by faith. Oh eternal God, we want to thank you for the instructions, for the encouragement that we see in your word. Oh, that we'll be able to marry the doctrine that we know with reality. Oh, that the words that we know will be comforting to us. Oh, that we'll be looking forward to meeting with the Savior, the one who loved us even before we loved him, the one who died to deal with human sin, the one who took up our place, oh God. We pray that we'll be a Christian that will be looking forward to such a union with our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, eternal God, to set our minds on things above. And as we come to the end of our time together, Lord, we pray that you will dismiss us with your blessings, that, Lord, you will go before us as we go to our homes, and that, Lord, indeed we'll have this hope in you. So, eternal God, hear our prayer. We do ask and pray in the name of your Son, the soon coming Savior, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.